open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want.
God bless you, buddy. God bless you.
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Thank you, Lord.
High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Thank you, Lord.
You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Good to be back here and worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Good to have everybody online watching in, and maybe some new ones. God bless you from Spoken Word Church here in Lula, Georgia. We are doing what the state of Georgia has asked us to do, is 10 people and stay 6 feet apart. And we're washing our hands more than we probably ever have. And so we're doing the best we can with what we got. But we're going to try to get the Word of God out so that people can hear. And that so that you will not know that we are cowering away from this thing. But I saw a post the other day that told us that, you know, I believe in God, I have faith in God, but when I open the oven to get something hot out of the oven, I use oven mitts. Yeah. When I get in my car, I put a seatbelt on, but still I have faith in God. So we know one thing's for sure, that God, I like what Brother Brady told me a long time ago when I first met him. He said, Brother Wade, God gave us 5 senses. Use them. Yeah. Use them. You know, so He gave us a responsibility to take care. And we're supposed to be the cleanest people on the earth anyway. You know, so we're supposed to be practicing these things. And while you're sitting at home, enjoy being with your spouse. Enjoy being with your kids. Sit down and commune with them. And get to know them a little bit better, and get to know your spouse a little bit better. This will bring us a little bit closer to each other and closer to God too. So God bless you, and we thank you for all the prayers and the support we get from the church. And like I said, Brother Aaron will be speaking for us Wednesday. We'll use this same format that we're using now, and hope everything is okay at home. I know everybody wants to be here, but let's do our part right now. And as we do our part right now, that means that if everybody else will do their part around the world, then with the social distancing and washing your hands and all that, that we will, this thing will come to a close. I was thinking, you know, we were talking the other day about how Moses, when the children of Israel would go, they'd do something awful, and God would send a plague. And Moses would tell Aaron to run through the crowd with a censer. Well, you got to remember, there was people died. Sometimes up to 20,000 before God stayed the plague. So that's what we're praying, that I hate that anybody dies. I was thinking last night, I thought, man, if they didn't know the Lord, we got a lot of people that are passing away from the earth without knowing God. But God knows that. He knows who they are. But we're just going to pray for humanity, We're still human beings. And as I said downstairs in the Sunday school class, you can blame China, you can blame Trump, you can blame whoever. I say let's just blame ourselves. Let's just blame ourselves that we haven't come to a place to where we can walk in Gainesville Hospital and just everybody be healed. You know, so blame yourself. Blame us that we're not in the position. I believe we're getting there. But I just want to put all the blame on me. All the blame on me. I'm the reason the rapture's not took place. I'm the reason Brother Dale can't preach all the time like he should. I'm the reason that some people act the way they do. And if you'll all agree, instead of blaming everybody else, don't blame everybody else. Just blame ourselves and just say, hey, Lord, fix me first. If you'll fix me first, then maybe God will speak to you. I was thinking this morning, and I'm not being, I guess I'm not being mean, but I'm interpreting, you know, Brother Brown was talking about the tent vision. Okay, well, the tent vision was people were going in the tent, getting healed, and walking away. And I thought about it the other day. I started looking, Brother Danny, all these hospitals now have them big, long, white tents in front of them. And the people are going in, and some are not making it, but some are coming out feeling better. So maybe we need to pray that God will anoint those doctors and anoint somebody to create a vaccine instead of trying to argue with who's right and who's wrong. Good grief, I had enough of that. We get enough of that during daily regular life. We need to just focus on what God's doing, what He's already done, what He's already given us. An opportunity to do. To me, this is an opportunity for us to get one step closer to get out of here. Amen. Just one step closer to get out of here. This is setting in motion things that we would have never thought. Like Brother Dale said, you can sit and try to figure things out and you think, well, this is going to come this and this is going to come this way. And then all of a sudden here we got a little bitty bug that you can't even see. And it's infecting people and it shut the whole world down. Not just... As Brother Luis, we were doing Wednesday night, we did a little thing for the brothers overseas, and he interpreted in Spanish because they wanted to kind of understand what was going on over here. But the Bible says the whole world is groaning. So now literally the whole world, 151 countries, are groaning and travailing, waiting for what? The manifestation of the sons of God, just like the whole creation is, the whole nature is. You know, all the nature, all they're groaning, waiting on us to come back to that Adam and Eve condition. As Brother Dale was talking about this morning. So God bless you. We love you. Thank you for all the prayers. Just keep praying for us. Most of us still have our jobs and still going to work and doing what we're doing. So we thank God for that and just pray the Lord's protection in what we're doing. And then, you know, if whatever this thing holds, I pray that we'll get back to having church services again. Cause I enjoy it and I know you at home miss it too, but. Just create an atmosphere, like Brother Brown said. You're a creator, so right now, create an atmosphere that you're in a church service. You know, don't let the kids go running through the room, and don't do what. Sit down and do just like you would prepare for service, and I believe you'll get something out of it. All right, so we're still on journey of a believer, and it's part five, not part four. So, Brother Joe corrected me on that, so that's okay. So it is part five on there. I've still got it four on mine, but turn to Galatians 3 and. I'm not going to make any announcements. I don't know if we're going to be able to have April the 18th for our spring fling get together or for Brother Dale's birthday dinner on April the 19th. We'll just continue as we're going. If they release us to do it, we'll do it. If not, we'll postpone it. So, but other than that, all the other, we're going to still look for the June maybe by then everything will be opened up and we'll still have our Father's Day fishing thing in June and be time for us to get out. And as Brother Danny made me realize, you can still go fishing and you can still, there's really turkey season's about all it's in, but you can still go fishing. The DNR told him they were still stocking the streams and you can still go to the lake and fish, you know. It's like me and him were saying, we talk about social distancing. When I'm fishing, I don't want nobody around me anyway, especially if it's a good hole. Right, Dan? If it's a good hole, I want you go find your 6 foot somewhere else, you know. So, but you can get out and enjoy, go out in your yard. I'm enjoying my bees now, so they're all going at it, you know, and pollinating everything. And so we're, You can make this situation what you want to make out of it.
Right.
You can make it good, bad, or indifferent. I want to make it good.
Glory.
I want to make it where it's a good thing that we can do what we're doing. So let's bow our heads and speak to the author before we read Galatians 3. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this opportunity that we have to come here. And Lord, to expound on your word, Father, this is an eternal thing that we're looking at today. Before the foundation of the world, Lord, you wrote that Bible in your mind. As Brother Dale was talking about, now that mind has come down to a group of individuals in the end time. And it's a part of your eternal word, Father. And that's what we are as Christians. We're part of the eternal word of God. So we ask that you sanctify us, Lord, for this journey. Keep us safe. Keep this little virus away from us, Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would stay this thing, Lord, and let it, it's got to run a little bit of its course. But as we were talking about Moses and Aaron, Lord, send the censer down through the hospitals and send the healing angel, Lord, to heal these people. Look after the doctors and the poor nurses that are trying their best to do what they can, Lord. And it's just a new thing and where it's all uncharted water. But we pray, Lord, that it wasn't a surprise to you. You knew before the foundation of the world this was going to happen. And you knew there would be a bride on the earth, and you knew that she would cry out for help, Lord, and that you are ever-present help, Lord, in a time of trouble. Father, we ask just to be with each one. Heal the sick. Bless the ones that are home, Lord. Be with each one as we go about our daily lives, Lord, and may this thing come back to normal. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So we're on the journey of a believer, and we've continued now through, we're going to hurry through justification and sanctification, because even if you're watching in today and you're not a part of this church body, then we believe that Abraham was our example. God give us examples in the Bible to go by, and Abraham was a perfect example of the journey of a believer. All right, he did not receive justification and sanctification in the baptism of the Holy Ghost as we teach now, but he was an example of that.
Right.
Under the blood of bulls and goats, he was under that anointing where he couldn't receive the new birth, but he could be an example so that we, as the seed of Abraham,
yes,
which we now have Christ inside of us, that same person is going to go through that same journey.
Right.
All right, so let's read Galatians 3:16. It says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not into seeds as of many, but as of one, into thy seed, which is Christ. Because really, Isaac was not the promised son. Jesus Christ was the promised son. And then we're heirs of that promise. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. In other words, it didn't do anything to what God promised Abraham. It actually enhanced what it was doing to Abraham. Cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. In other words, Brother Dale has an inheritance. I'm his son, so I get that inheritance automatically. All right? So if it be of the law, then it's no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Or by promise. Now let's read Hebrews 6, verse 13 through 15. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. In other words, he said, Abraham, you're not going to have anything to do with this. Adam broke his covenant I made because it was a conditional covenant. This is an unconditional covenant. I'm going to make sure this takes place.
Amen.
And when God makes sure it takes place, it's got to take place because he's eternal. Okay. But he's connecting himself, as you'll see what Brother Dale was talking about this morning. He now has connected himself back to human beings where he can live in us, not anoint Abraham or Abram to Abraham to do his thing. He's now not just anointed us. He's went in us, being the seed of Abraham, which is the faith seed of Abraham. He swore by no greater, so he knew it was going to be done. All right, so he swore by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, in other words, Abram walked for 25 years as Abram, with a promise, but not the promise of having the promised son. So, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And you may be seated in the Lord at his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we'll run through this real quick. If you'll notice, The prophet of God tells us when Abraham met him, he was Melchizedek, because we're going to get to that today, where Abraham has his name changed. He goes and meets Melchizedek, and that's a type of what he's going to do for us in the end time. He's going to connect back with us in the Son of Man, because that was a man in human flesh that met Abraham. All right, so we'll get to that. And Brother Branham tells us when Abraham met him, he was Melchizedek. He unfolds here what all the attributes will do in the final end. And if you realize what Brother Dale's talking to us, this is the way I see it. God is not complete without you. He had to give his attribute. He had to give his attribute to you. So he gave a piece of himself, a piece of the puzzle. A piece of the puzzle is now with you. He had it all with him. It was all right up here. It was all in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. The Word was God. And that Word was made flesh in Jesus Christ. We know that. But then it also was made flesh in me and you. So the part of God you are, it's like you're putting a puzzle together. And me and June's got old puzzles out. We're putting puzzles together and all these. It's really, it helps your mind, especially when you get our age. But when you can't find a piece of the puzzle, the puzzle's not complete. You really don't see 100% of the picture with pieces missing. So God had to subdivide himself or divide himself out among the believers so that we can all come back together. And then that piece of the puzzle is put back together. So we had to be a part of God. If we're born again, you are a part of God. You're an attribute. As you said, so every attribute is going to have to come to that. He unfolds himself here. What all the attributes, that's me and you, will do at the final end, every son of Abraham. Now, that was not every son of Abram. It's son of Abraham will do in the final end. Every son of the faith will absolutely do the same thing. And like I said before, we have faith in God. But we don't do stupid things like go out in the middle of the road back here and say, okay, God, that next truck that comes down through here, I'm just going to melt right through it, and you're going to, well, you might melt through it, but they may be a few days picking the pieces up. Okay? But, like I said before, take that same situation, though. A kid run out in the middle of the road, and you run out there and grab him and save him, and God stops the car, as I was telling the Sunday school class about June, when there was a wreck up on Mont Eagle Mountain several years ago, and she was standing out in the middle of the road with her hands up, and the baby was right between her feet. And the truck just, I mean, coming down that big old hill full of cargo, it's not easy for them to stop. And when they do put on their brakes, they start fishtailing and all that stuff. Well, that thing stopped about 10 feet from that baby. So I believe that was God telling her to go out there, because if not, he would have run right over the child. So to me, that's faith, having faith for the time or faith for the moment. So like I said again, let's don't be stupid. Let's do the things we're supposed to do, and then let God lead us and guide us into all truth. Amen? So we look at justification in Genesis 12. I told him we're not going to turn to that because we've been through it before. But remember, the Lord spoke to Abram in chapter 12. For those of you that maybe are not familiar with this, the walk of a Christian takes three attributes or three ways of getting to God. And one is justification, because justification means he begins you on your journey and you become just or justified. And all your past sins are chopped off. Abram is called in Genesis chapter 12. And he says, the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. So you're going to have to separate. That's where we go with the Baptists and the different ones so far as to say that once saved, always saved, if you're truly saved to begin with. Amen? Because justification chops off your past sins, but you still have a journey of sanctification where God will clean you out. The Bible says in the book of Luke that the unclean spirit goes out of a man, walks in dry places. So whatever you were doing before, you're not going to do that anymore if truly that spirit has gone out. And then God puts his Holy Spirit in, and then he doesn't just put his Holy Spirit in, he seals the bottle. And then he keeps all that goodness inside. Alright? But I don't want to say once saved, always saved, and then it's kind of like I was telling you the other day where this banker friend of mine, you know, we were out in the middle of the lake, and he was drinking a beer and cursing and smoking a cigar, and he said he just got saved. And I said, John, what'd you get saved from? Where'd you get saved from? I tell him how I got saved. Well, see, I don't do those things anymore. And it's not just do's and don'ts. I have no desire to do that. The desire has went away. His desire wasn't gone away. He might have come to a place of repentance and asked God to forgive him of his sins, and he was sorry for what he did. But why would you go back and do the same thing he asked, you asked forgiveness for? And then you just keep doing it, and you keep doing it. I said, John, I said, saved means if you fall out of this boat and I reach and grab you, you're drowning and put you back in the boat, that's salvation. But you're telling me that you went ahead and fell right back out of the boat again, back into the same water. Now, God's not that way. He's not just going to keep doing this.
Yes, man.
Amen? So that's the same way with Abram. Abram started on a journey in Genesis chapter 12 through justification, which the Bible tells us that being justified freely, Romans 3 verse 24, if you'll pull that one up, being justified freely by his grace. The problem is we try to justify ourselves a lot of times.
Right.
And justifying ourselves, we're not the justifier. He's the justifier. The Lord Jesus is the just one. And if we'll connect to him, because look, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is not in us, we receive redemption, but the redemption is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a perpetuation through faith in his blood. It all based on faith. To declare his righteousness, not mine and yours.
Yeah, no.
You better not declare yours. You can declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Listen, you can't pray and say, Lord, forgive me for what I'm going to do tomorrow. You haven't got there yet.
Right.
But God, forgive me. I know what I did in the past. I know what I did yesterday. I know what I did a few hours ago. And God, forgive me of that. Because remember, as Brother Dale's always told us, grace is not for the future.
Right.
Grace is for the past.
Right,
amen. So it's what you did in the past. So, but when we still come to the place to where, you know, we like to take a little social drink or a little social chew or a little whatever, you might have repented of it back then and got rid of that part, but the person that still made you do that is still in there. So God's not going to reside. You understand what I'm talking about. God's not going to reside in an unclean vessel. So you're going to continually, these things you're going to, sure, we battle as human beings. Listen, folks, we battle, you know that. We battle every day. Because what Satan wants to do, he wants to get back into that vessel that he had control of before. Because
right.
He can't understand, because he can't go through these processes that you and I go through. He can't go through them because he's what? He's not. He can't be saved. Sorry, but he can't. He made that choice a long time ago. But we can, and he can't understand how we can say no. No, that's not a part of me anymore. So he can't get in that vessel anymore. But if he's already in there, he's just going to keep doing what he did before. And that was the same way with Abram as we looked in, keep that right there. As we look in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord says, all right, Abram, get up, get out of your country. In other words, stop what you're doing and I want you to walk in a different direction.
Right.
All right. I don't want you to walk in the same direction, so that's what I said about once saved, always saved. If you're still walking in the same direction you did, I don't care if you made a confession or whatever you made several years ago, what are you doing now?
Right.
Because look, God, you're in a journey. God is always moving. You know, that's why if you look at the Wailing Wall, when Brother Dale's been there and I watched a documentary just a couple of days ago, that's why they're doing this. Because they know God, Jehovah, even all through the Old Testament, is a journey. And God is always in motion. So when they go to the Wailing Wall, they're not just doing this for nothing. They're doing this in reverence to God, that God is in motion.
Right.
God is not still. God is doing something. So that's why they do that at the Wailing Wall, is that because God is moving.
Amen. Right.
So now we look at Abram. Abram, now God said, get up and go. Get away from what you used to do. But the problem with Abram is Abram, as in our Christian journey to begin with, starts making a lot of mistakes. Number one, God told him to get up and move. And what's the first thing he did? He brought Lot with him. All right, so that's like I said before, he brought a lot. And that's our problem. We take a lot with us.
Yeah.
All right, when we start our journey. But listen, as long as you're in that journey, you'll start shedding those things as you go through your journey. All right? Because Abram started shedding these things. At one point, he says, all right, Lot, you go that way, I'll go this. Or you go wherever you want to go, I'll take the other way. There had to, there's somewhere in life, like Brother Zach, we were talking about, you know, you got friends that do what you do because you're of the same kindred spirit. Right? But when you come to a place that you realize that God's working on you and he's not working on them at that moment, there has to be a separation time because it's like water and oil. They don't mix. Amen. What you used to say, they'd say, okay, beer, yeah. Bar, yeah. Let's go smoke, yeah. But now when they do the same identical thing and they say that to you and it has no hold on you at all and you go, no, I don't think I want to do that. No, and then somewhere down the line, there's got to be a separation. Abram and Lot, Abram had to separate from the Lot that he took with him.
That's it.
So you got to separate from the Lot that you take with you, your old baggage.
Right.
Somewhere there's got to be a separation. Even in Genesis, somewhere in 13, 14 in there, you see that Abram is walking and even Lot's walking with him. And then all of a sudden, Abram says, stop. Somewhere in here, we got to divide because we're getting to, in other words, like I always said, the herdsmen were the problem. So Abram's angels and Lot's demons were fighting each other. Same way with you. That's what happens is God comes and gives you an anointing to carry you in through your journey. Because listen, he knows you're going to make it to the end. You don't. So if he knows you're going to make it to the end, the Bible says those who he has justified, he has already glorified. So your journey is already set, as Brother Dale will talk to us about in foreknowledge and predestination, but the destiny is determined, but you don't know. We don't know tomorrow. We don't know tonight, but we know who holds tonight and we know who holds tomorrow. And that's where we put our faith. That's why Abram is going toward Abraham, but that's the father of our faith. He just got up and left.
Yeah, right.
He didn't have some great big, you know, and we have these clouds and we have all these signs. Abram had zero. Zero sign. And I believe, Brother Zach, you had zero sign,
yep.
But there was some things happening.
Right.
Things going on.
Amen.
Things that you couldn't stand anymore that used to be comfortable doing. Listen, we've all been through that.
Yes.
So same way with Abram. God says, hey, Abram, get out of there. Abram takes Lot with him. Well, then all of a sudden God says, okay, there's going to be a time when that Lot's got to separate from you. Well, where did Lot go? Lot went to Sodom.
Right.
Had a lot of problems. And in justification, you're going to have a lot of problems. Look, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. Self-righteous people. It's like Dwight Moody said, God will only fill those who are not full of their self. Okay, so self-righteous people are self-righteous. That's why that word says. Okay. So anyway, God's righteousness, though, if we take his righteousness, and we envelop ourselves in his righteousness because look, that he might be just and the justifier of him, which is us, which believeth in Jesus. Has everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. So now let's go to Ezekiel 11. We're still in the justification. We're looking at justification is where God says, I'm going to use you, but you're still dirty. Okay. I'm going to use you. I'm going to pick the jar up out of the cesspool that we were in. All of us were in there at one time. God picks it up. And you know what? If God picks it up, a lot of times, to justify ourselves, we start going, oh, I think I'll do. No. God went to Abram. Abram didn't call God. You didn't call on God. Sure you did. Sure you did. But no, it was God calling you. It was something coming to you first to make you respond. So first, God came to Abram and said, Abram, walk before me. Talk to me. I'm going to show you these things and I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee. This is verse 2 of chapter 12. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. So God is, to me, I like to look at it like this. God knows where we're going to go in our life. So he puts a little protective bubble around us. He puts an anointing around us. Now, it's the Holy Ghost. Because remember, justification is a work of the Holy Ghost. It's not the person of the Holy Ghost, but he's working with you. Because remember, he can't attach himself to something that's dirty. We can't drink out of the glass. When God first picks the glass up out of the sewer, he's going to have a purpose for that glass, but he's not going to fill it up and start drinking out of it right then. Neither are we, even in our natural life. All right? What are we going to do? We're going to sanitize the jar. Right? We're going to make sure it goes through a process to get rid of everything inside there, because when we pour whatever we're going to pour in there, we can't contaminate it. And when God's going to pour himself in that vessel, like I said before, talk about the once saved, always saved. I agree with you. If you truly got saved and God put himself inside of you, changed your desires, and then he sealed it so right. Satan can't get in and God can't get out.
Right,
now, if the lid was off this thing, Brother Dale would be wet,
right?
But it's been sealed, and that's what we're trying to get to. If we'll get to it today. I'll try not to go 2 hours again. I'm sorry about last Sunday, but it just felt good, so we just kept on going. And nobody fell asleep, so the sleepy spirits may be home. Anyway, Ezekiel 11, verse 17, God's telling us, and I want you to see how God's working here. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people. See, same over you and I. What'd he do? He took Abram out of his country. He took you in justification. He took you away from not your earthly family, mother, father, and may have them, but all of that family you were with. Because you know what? Just like now this is your church family, you had a worldly family. Amen? These are the people you used to run with. We always call run with somebody, you know. So he's running with this person. Well, we were running from God at that time. So now we're running with God in our journey. So was Abram. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you've been scattered. In other words, the world. And I will give you the land of Israel. And that's, we're talking about promised land, our promised land. And they shall come thither and they shall take away all the detestable things. Now look, he's getting cleaning you up. Take all the detestable things, therefore, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. Now we're going to get to that. And I will take the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. You don't have a physical transplant by no means, but God takes that old stony heart that just hates everything and talks about, you know, your mama and daddy and more your daddy than your mama sometimes. But that's that old stony heart, and God can't work with that. Why? Because it's set. You've heard the saying, it's set in stone. Well, God don't want that. He wants to make it pliable where he can use you and be the potter and the clay be real pliable, and then he can mold you into what he wants you to be. And I will give them one heart. So he's going to give you a new heart. What? A new thought, a new inner direction is what he's going to give you. That's what he gave Abram. He gave Abram a new direction. Abram was doing this. Everything was fine. He was making idols with his daddy in the Ur of Chaldees. He had probably had a nice house and had everything going on and had probably had some social friends. And then God just says, you need to leave that place. Yeah. So that's the same way he spoke to us. He spoke to our heart one day and said, you need to leave the place, not the physical place, but the place that you're in. You need to leave it.
Right.
'Cause I want to deal with you. I've picked you up. And I know I'm going to use you. Now, to the world, you still look dirty. And to you, you still look dirty.
Yeah.
But to God, those who he has justified, he's already glorified. Isn't that pretty? That good, clean water.
Amen.
Beautiful to drink. I think I'll have a little right now. Oh, man, that's good. So that's what he's talking about in Ezekiel. So that's Genesis 12. In chapter 13, he goes through many things. Chapter 14, then now chapter 15. They're not turning to it. I told them not to. We've been through it for four services. So if you want to, though, you can read it at home. Go to chapter 15. The Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. So what happens is Abram, God is not going to, same thing in your journey. Abram is not, God is not going to just dump everything on top of you and say, you got to know everything about this and that and the other. You got to know how you're going to be and you got to know how you react. No, God lets you walk through because he let Abram He gave Abram the promise, and he walked for 25 years before God changed his name to Abraham. That was the promise to Abraham. All right? Everybody got that? He had to go through the journey of justification. Now we get into sanctification, which begins in chapter 15. And we see in sanctification, chapter 15, that word is clean and set aside for service. So he picks the jar up. Now he's going to use the jar, but he's got to get it clean.
Right.
And we're not going to take this water out here, but there's just pretend there's nothing in it because there was old black, muddy, dirty water in there. And then that, and in the book of Luke, it says the unclean spirit's gone out. So you pour all that out because God won't dwell in an unclean vessel, and it's cleaned and set aside for service, not put in service yet. It would be horrible if I had this real pretty glass right here and there was nothing in it. There's a purpose for that glass. It's to have really nice, purified drinking water in it. Amen? God wants purified you. Amen? And the only way to have purified you is to put purified him in you. He's the perfection. You're not, but we're heading toward that direction. Hebrews 2 verse 11 says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. You see how now God is moving closer to Abram because he's cleaning him and setting aside. So now God can really touch the glass a lot better than he was probably doing like this, you know, when it was really dirty. But remember, in God's mind, that's a part of him already. Okay? And he has a purpose for that. Cleaned and set aside for service. He's going to put this thing in service if you'll just continue what? Abram, just keep walking. Abram went to Egypt. Abram went to Canaan. Abram went to Haran. He went to all these different places. What? He kept moving. He kept moving. Now, a lot of times he got out of the will of God and he had to pay for it, but so do we.
Right.
All right? But under sanctification, you see that the Bible says, after these things, verse 1, chapter 15, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in the vision and said, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. In other words, I've come to a place to where I know you're sincere. Because see, he's going to check Abraham's sincerity over when he sacrificed Isaac, his only son. He's going to check the sincerity of Abraham. Now he's checking the sincerity of Abram. Now he's checking your, you say, oh, I'm checking your sincerity. He's not checking it for your purpose. For his purpose. He's checking it for your purpose.
Right.
He knew what Abram was going to do before the foundation of the world. Abram didn't know what he was going to do. But in what Abram did, but look at this though, in what Abram did, God could use Abram and not John Henry or Joe or Jim or Tom or Ted or somebody out there. You know, God didn't just call Abram. I believe he called a lot of people, and they turned him down. Abram was the only one that got up. Same way with you. Why are you in a crowd of guys, and all of a sudden, God starts picking on you?
Yeah.
Well, thank God.
Amen.
Because he knew what you would do. He's not going to cast his pearls before swine like he tells us not to.
Right.
And I hate to say this, but he's not going to waste his time knowing that somebody, say like Adolf Hitler, he knew Adolf Hitler, if you give him a million years, that's what I believe, and the Lord knows if you're going to accept him or not. And if you're not ever going to accept him, sure, God will bless you, God will answer your prayer, especially for salvation. But he'll know, like people like that, he'll know they'll never do it, so he don't have to give them anything. Because God can't give you something. He can't give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost and take it away from you.
Right.
No. No. He can't. Satan's an Indian giver. God's not.
Amen.
Everybody got that?
Right.
So now in sanctification, we see for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Watch. He's coming together, getting closer, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Start coming to church, reading your Bible, getting around a new group of people.
Right?
Right? You don't want to be around that old group of people anymore. Be around the new group of people. All right? Put you in we hate to say religion, but it is a religious order that we come together, as Baptists do, and Methodists do, and Pentecostals and all the different ones. We come together, but said, for which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. All right, so now let's go to Ezekiel 36, the next one. Because watch what happens. Abram goes through these many different things. If you read chapter 15, and you'll see that Abram was told to bring some different animals in, different sacrifices, different things, turtle doves and pigeons and she-goats and a heifer. And they all mean something, but we got to that last Sunday, so we'll not get into it today. I want to get on up a little bit closer to where Abraham meets Melchizedek. But we see that God, in other words, what we're saying is God, even in, I'll read from the unconditional covenant, but Ezekiel 36, verse 25, what? For I will take you from among the heathen, remember, and gather you out of all your country and bring you into your own land. So he's, but you got, listen, what is redemption? Coming out of and going into. So Abram is showing the plan of redemption because he came out of the Ur of Chaldees and he is now walking. Now sometimes he gets in the permissive will of God and he goes over to Egypt for a little while because it was a famine. Then you see him going right back to Canaan, then right back to these different places. You're going to make a lot of mistakes, but a lot of those mistakes are going to be taken care of in your journey, in your walk, all right? Because God takes the unclean spirit out. Now, when he takes that unclean spirit out, you don't have those desires anymore.
Right.
But remember, though, in the book of Luke, it tells us that that unclean spirit only stays out for a little while.
Yeah.
He comes back and tries to get back into his house.
Right.
And he brings seven demons worse and tries to fill you up with a lot of religion.
Yeah.
Go to church. That's okay. Go to church. But you ain't got to pray all the time. And you read your Bible. Well, my goodness, you don't need to do all that. Just go to church or whatever. No, that's not God. That's the devil. Okay. Then I will sprinkle, watch. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you. What? He's washing you by the water of the word. And you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you.
Glory.
What idols? Were the idols you had before, the idols I had before, the idols I don't have anymore.
Yeah.
Abram didn't have those idols anymore. Abram was walking in a different direction than where he was in the Ur of Chaldees. Everybody got that?
Amen.
But now look, he says, a new heart also will I give you. Remember, he took the stony heart out and gave us a heart of flesh. Now watch, he says, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. So now he's going to put a new spirit in you. Well, the new spirit that he puts in you is not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Now many may claim that it is, but if you'll look and see what it continues on, we'll read Ezekiel a little bit later. He says, I'll put my spirit in you. Now that's the spirit of Almighty God. I'll put my spirit in you. But he gives you a new spirit to help you cope with the people. Cause like I was, you know, leaving the church and being gone for all those years, I was comfortable out there. I wasn't comfortable here. You know, Mama would call me and Danny and she'd say, it's Easter and it's Mother's Day and it's Christmas. Cause you see the people that are part of they call it the ENC crowd, the Eastern Christmas crowd that just show up because Mama shames them enough to come. Well, that doesn't do you any good.
Right.
The inside guy.
Right.
Might get a few pats on your head from your mama and your daddy, but it's still the inside guy, still dirty. You brought the dirty vessel in.
Right.
And until you got changed, you took the dirty vessel back out because you showed it once you got back out from under all this.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I say to you that then he's going to give you then a new spirit. That unclean spirit's going to leave and God will give you a temporary spirit. Because it's not residing in, but what he's doing is he's getting you ready. He's doing some sanitizing work. We all are in our hand sanitizer thing and all that, washing for 20 seconds. Well, God's doing that by the washing of the water of the word. I wish soap and water could do it. It'd be too easy. But soap and water can't get down inside you where it needs to be, but God can. God can get down in there and he uses some kind of solution that we never heard of as human beings or we wouldn't have these problems on the outside.
That's right.
Amen? Yeah. So it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I wish we had it on the outside, guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we got it on the inside guy, and he's the one, that's the one where it protects us because he sealed us. Whatever that liquid is that's inside of you, it's sealed in there.
Glory.
All right? But what he does is he from what I gathered when I was in my journey coming up would be the same as this, is that God is training you to take the Holy Spirit.
Glory.
Because God's not just going to justify you, and then your unclean spirit's going to leave, and then all of a sudden he's going to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Now, that's not the way he works. And you know what? You and I couldn't take it that well.
Right.
I mean, really. If not, there would only be two works of grace.
Right.
Okay? Or one work of grace. But God said there was three works of grace. So we got to go through them three works of grace, and once we do, though, there it is. And then you look back on your journey and you say, that's exactly the way my journey went, was justification. I realized what God did. I realized the day that God emptied me out and then started what? He started buffing on you a little bit. Started buffing on you a little bit. So that's what and listen to what Brother Brown says on the unconditional covenant. It would be number two. Watch close now. Then when he come down, the Holy Spirit, to talk to Abraham. Now, he's talking about Abram here in the book of Genesis 15. Let's go down to the second paragraph. And the next thing, now what's going to do? He's confirming and giving an evidence. Now look, close. He's giving an evidence or a proof to Abraham how he's going to do this.
Yeah.
Right here. He's giving an evidence or a proof to Abraham how he's going to do it. You and your natural journey with God, you sitting here, are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Are you talking to the other brethren? It puts you in an atmosphere to where God can talk to you, and he might talk to you through a brother or a sister or a deacon or a preacher or somebody. He's going to talk to you through them. Maybe sometimes they even test you. To see if you know you can take this spirit that he's fixing to give you. Because you come into a place that you never were before. Look, what's God? He's confirming and giving an evidence. Close. He's giving an evidence or a proof to Abraham how he's going to do this. And he's going to do it. Listen, if you want to be healed, how he's going to do this. Then Abraham, I'm shutting you out of the picture. Remember in Genesis 15, if you read it, he puts Abram to sleep. In other words, he says, Abram, you got nothing to do with this. I'm doing the work. I'm the sanctifier. I'm the justifier. And if you'll just let me do the work, let go and let God. That's the whole thing. Let go and let God. If you let go and let God, I'm shutting you out of the picture. I'm putting you to sleep. Because remember, the old you's got to die somewhere in this journey. It didn't happen in justification. The old Abram didn't die. The old you didn't die. You were still that old sinner. Even in justification, you still had that unclean spirit. Unclean water was inside of you at justification. But as you walk, the unclean spirit is driven out. I say spirits is driven out, the different things you used to do. And then God is going to say, look, because you know what? If you'll remember in your journey, just think back. There's a lot of things I tried to do that failed. That I thought it might have been what God wanted me to do. That's Abram heading to Egypt. Because what you see a little something going on here and you go, oh, I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
No, these things you got to deal with.
Right.
God wants you to deal with it because he's fixing to put a new spirit inside of you to help you deal with it. Everybody got that?
Yes.
Same way it happened to me. Like I said, it's not just some... No. God says, let me handle this. That's what he was telling Abram. Even in sanctification, because when he puts the Holy Spirit inside of you, he doesn't clean you and set aside you for service. He puts you in service.
Right.
So you've had your 1 year of training at 15 years old for your driver's license. He's training you how to drive. And then when you turn 16 and he gives you the Holy Spirit, you know how to drive the truck.
Right. Yeah.
I'd hate for Brother Ryan to have drove that big old truck he drives about 20 years ago, or whenever you turned 16.
Yeah.
Remember how many years ago that was? 5 years ago, 4 years.
Yeah.
it'd be a disaster.
Right.
Even if somebody like Brother Zach gets in that big old 40 foot, more than that, 48 foot Peterbilt or whatever it is, you got driver's license, right? But you ain't got truck driver's license. That's what God's showing you exactly where your position is, even in your sanctification.
Right.
You have nothing to do with this. I'm going to train you. I got to start what? He's starting from nothing. There's nothing inside here. He's starting from nothing.
Amen.
You're an airhead.
Yeah.
Amen? You're an airhead. There's nothing there. Then he says, Abram, I'm shutting you out of the picture. I'm putting you to sleep. Then before Abraham came a black thickness. In other words, every sinner deserves to go to hell, blackness. You ever thought about that? Even in your journey, you thought about, hey, I could have went to hell. If I'd have died, I'd be gone. So he makes you realize, see, but God's not making you realize in a negative way. He's making you realize in a positive way, hey, I brought you from that. You're not going to have to go there anymore.
Right.
Like I said before, thank God for the revelation that I have, that I don't have to stand before the judgment. If I go through justification, how can I be judged?
Right.
If I'm justified already.
Amen.
Now see, you don't realize that when you first get started.
Right.
See, that would be self-justification if you say, oh, well, I'm just as God is. He will prove you wrong somewhere down the road. But if you come to the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you see that you've walked in this journey, you look back and you say, man, I am as just as God is, because the Bible says the just and the justifier, in other words, is the same person. Just like the sanctifier and the sanctified is the same person. Because it's what? It's God working. It's God literally working on you in a personal relationship. He didn't send a third person or a second person or a first person. He's the only person that deals with you is the Holy Ghost, which is God in another form. Same Lord Jesus Christ, the Comforter. He said, I'll send the Comforter in my Father's name. Well, the Father didn't have a name. Father ain't a name. The Lord Jesus Christ is His name. That's why we believe in one true and living God, not three persons or personalities, as I was explaining this morning. Me and Bob don't like to hunt. He wouldn't sit in a deer stand if you paid him $5,000. Well, maybe now. Well, you wouldn't pay him $50 to sit in a deer stand. Well, that's his personality.
Right.
Everybody got that? But now me and Brother Danny, we'd pay $50 to sit in a deer stand. If it was a good one. if it was a good spot. But it's different personalities. So God can't be three personalities in the Godhead, as people say they are. In the Trinity. He can't have three personalities.
Right.
They'd be different. Somewhere they would be a clash.
Right. Yes.
But if you look in the Bible and you look in Jesus' life, there never was a clash between the Father, the Son, and there's never a clash. The Holy Ghost doesn't all of a sudden look back and say, why'd you do that? No, it's the same person.
Right.
So they have the same personality.
Right.
They have different avenues that they reach you in, just like I'm a father, because I have a son back there called Josh. But I'm also a son because there's my dad. And if my grandbaby was here today, I would be a grandfather to her. But how many people am I? One. And there's no conflict because that's me. It's who I am. So that's the same way. That's how that we believe in one true and living God. And Jesus Christ is His name. The position that He took as fatherhood in the Old Testament. This is Jehovah God talking to Abraham or Abram, right? All right, so that same person, not another second person in the Godhead, came to be the Son. That person immorphed or changed his form into the Son. I and my Father are one, or he lied. He said, I and my Father are one. He didn't say we just agree on every once in a while. He said, well, if you're the same person, see, I don't have to disagree in deer hunting. Because I love it. Okay? But if I separate myself into Bob, like the three persons of the Godhead would be, somewhere in the transition, Bob's not going to like deer hunting, and I am, so there's a conflict. There's not a conflict between three gods.
Right.
It's one God with three manifestations, and He has one name, Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Acts 2:38 and according to Matthew 28:19. That's what Jesus was saying, baptize in my name. The name of the Father. The Father's not a name. Son's not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. It's positions of one person. And if Jesus said, I'll send the Comforter in my name, and I come in my Father's name, yeah, how many different names? Oh, brother, Yahweh. That's titles. That's titles to a name. Jehovah, all these different things are titles to one name. When he came on earth and took a human form to get us into this kingdom he's talking about, yeah, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we come. The whole family, the Bible says, is named Jesus Christ. So why do I not want to identify? I don't want to identify with a father. They could billions of fathers. There's billions of sons. There's billions of spirits. But there was only one Lord Jesus Christ. One. Not two or three. There was only one Lord Jesus Christ. And if all the family in heaven and earth is named after that, then to identify myself, when I go to the water to be baptized, I identify myself in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the family I'm fixing to go into. All right? Amen? Is that all right? I know we believe that, but maybe somebody's watching. Maybe somebody, I got a feeling that maybe somebody's watching in that had never watched before. So that's okay. A lot of people sitting at home not doing much. Maybe they'll click on Spoken Word Church. You never know. But God says, look, Abram, I'm putting you to sleep. Every sinner deserves to go to hell, blackness. Then after that, a smoking, burning furnace. Every sinner deserves. Abraham, that's what you deserve. But beyond that went a little white light. Like I said before, that little white light, if you were spiritual enough, which we weren't in our justification, that little white light was right there with you the whole time. There was an anointing. Brother Brown said, we have angels to guide us through life. That angel, though, is not in here because it didn't steer you into going to the bars and doing all the things you did, but it was right here waiting on you to make a choice. So that white light went between all that sacrifices, watch. But beyond that went a little white light. That little white light went right between those pieces of sacrifice, right back and forth. The white light moving, showing, making a confirmation. Showing Abraham what he would do someday through his seed Isaac, bringing on Christ for the supreme sacrifice. So that little white light that followed you all your life, that you really a lot of times ignored, but it was there. But there's a time when it comes where it gets closer. In your walk of sanctification, it got closer because Abram, in this dream or vision, he sees this white light and it goes down through the sacrifices. Well, now as we continue on through our journey, that white light disappears. But it doesn't go away from you, it goes in you. Just like this right here. It goes inside of you. So now that thing that watched over you all that time is now inside of you.
Right.
All right. And we see that as a confirmation when we keep reading about the seal of circumcision that Abram comes to and gets his name changed. Because you know what? As we walk through life, you and I walk through life, we were called sinner. I don't care what your name was, you were sinner.
Yeah.
You were Abram. You were walking through life, no rudder, no, you know, I mean, you had the boat, you had the water, you had the sails, but you know what? Without a rudder, without that little thing in the back, that little guide to turn you, the wind can take you over here and it'll take you over here.
Right.
But when you got that spiritual rudder called the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it'll lead you and guide you into all truth. Doesn't matter if the wind's blowing in that direction. You can take a hard rudder and you can go right straight into that wind. If you've got that rudder. All right? Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now look, let's go to number three then, hidden life in Christ. And I would like to stop here if possible and tell you something on that. You're a little creator yourself. Because watch, he said he'd give you a new spirit. Now that spirit isn't God's spirit. That's your spirit. God gives you a new spirit, then he says, I'll put my spirit in him.
Right.
But the thing God has to do is give you a new spirit, make your nature a little more gentle and settle down, or he couldn't even live with you. So he has to get you fixed up first before he can come in. He had to send Abram into a vision that Abram has nothing to do with this. All these animals laying here. And like I said before, Abram was awake when the sacrifices were made, and he kept the fowls away. All them foul spirits that keep trying to come back.
Right.
He's shooing the fowls away. But then God finally puts him to sleep and says, look, Abram, quit fighting. Let me take care of it. Because
right.
Where there's a white light, them fowls will leave.
Right.
When there's good fresh meat to eat, the fowls will leave. All them foul spirits that used to be inside of here. God's telling you, fight them off. Because listen, it's a fight. You know that. I know. We all know that. It's a fight when you first start in your Christian journey. Why? Because Satan is right here. He wants you back, man. He wants you back. You're his best soldier. You've served me for 20-something years. What's your problem? And he gets mad. But God don't get mad. God just goes, okay, do what you need to do. And you come right, Abram, you need to come right back to Canaan because that's where I'm going to bless you at. You need to come back to the promised land. Remember my promise. That's why Brother Branham will tell us, and you can see, and we're going to read it, maybe, when we get over to when Paul starts talking about Abram, said he staggered not at the promise of God. And that's what he's going to say to you, Zach, me, all the people that went away from the Lord and then came back. He's not going to say, what took you so long? Because he knew how long it'd take to start with.
Right.
But he's going to say, thank God, my child.
Amen.
You heeded the call.
Yeah.
And you're mine.
Yeah.
I don't care if it took you 20 years. I don't care what you did. Because remember, once you come to justification and you ask God to chop off your past sins, I don't care if you were an axe murderer, whoremonger, whatever you were, God said, I'll forgive you of your past if you'll let me justify you and you not justify yourself.
Right.
I did that because, see, that's justifying yourself. That's why he's showing Abram all this. Look, Abram, you ain't got nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
All you got to do is have faith. That's why he's a faith seed of Abraham. We're the faith seed of Abraham.
Right.
That's why Abraham to even having the promised son, God looked at him as if he did none of that wrong, because he's going to look at you. How's he going to, who can lay the charge to God's elect?
Right. That's right.
It's God that justifies.
Right.
Amen. So like I said before, if anybody ever brings you your past up and it's bad, it ain't God. God can't do that. You say, oh, God can do anything. No, God can't remember what he put in the sea of God's forgetfulness.
Amen.
He cannot remember that.
Exactly. Amen.
So he has to get you fixed up first before he can come in. What? He's got that stony heart out. He's got the heart of flesh. Now he's took that old nasty spirit out and give you a small, gentler spirit so you can deal with yourself. I'll give you a new spirit. Then you take him anywhere. You go all kinds of places. He's got to get you fixed so you can entertain him right.
Amen.
Who did we entertain before all this started?
Oh, yeah.
The devil.
Right.
And we can't have the devil and God in there at the same time.
That's right.
Amen? Because God won't dwell in an unclean vessel.
Right.
But we had come through this journey that we're coming through. Look at verse number 4, the intervail. Notice. You put a new spirit. God has to give you a new spirit or you couldn't even get along with him. You couldn't get along with yourself.
Right.
That old devil spirit you had in you. And that's true. How many times have we walked, even when we're coming towards sanctification, and them demons keep coming back.
Right.
And the old flesh part of you and the old Adamic nature is still there.
Right.
And it's trying to lean back that way, but you have to let go of that and let God, as he did with Abram, put you completely out of it.
Yes.
Because the old you will go back to it. But if you'll just say, I'm empty.
Yep.
I'm empty, God. You're going to have to fill me up because I can't deal with this. Well, that's what he's doing. He's giving you a new spirit. So he's got to put a new spirit in you so you can get along with his spirit.
Right.
I will put a new spirit in them and I will put my spirit in them. He said,
right.
After he's give you a new spirit, that's you.
Yeah.
Don't get it confused with God's spirit. It's not.
Right.
That's why I say to people that they once saved, always saved. You might have got a new spirit, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. You got a new spirit to try to be a little more religious.
Right.
And Satan's the most religious person in the world besides God himself.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
But you got to let die and let God take over, and then he'll put the right spirit, he'll put the right water in here.
Right.
All right? Don't get it confused with God's spirit. It's not. It's your new spirit. So you can get along with the Holy Spirit if he ever gives it to you. And he will give it to you if you'll ask him. All right. So that's why we're coming now to Genesis chapter 17. If they want to pull that up, we'll probably get 17 and 18. Not going to get to adoption like we were thinking about doing, but that's okay. We got next week. We can handle it. So let's read it for a minute. Let's see. Now, when Abram was 99 years old, it's never too late. It's never too late.
Right.
The problem was, and the problem that was back in sanctification that we didn't cover is, God told Abram, you're going to have a promised son.
Yeah.
But he never told him exactly how it was going to happen.
Exactly right.
So Abram goes over in permissive will and says, hey, I can still perform. In other words, you understand what I'm saying. And me and Sarah never could have any kids. So Sarah says, okay, take this Hagar woman. See, that was his idea, their all idea. And it was part of the plan. Yeah, sure, God knew about it, but that wasn't God's promise. Because look, God knew that the promised son had be between Abraham and Sarah, not Abram and Sarai or Abram and Hagar.
Right.
And even when Sarai went down to Egypt or wherever they went, and he was going to give her away, God protected her. Because if that king would have took her as wife, you understand what I'm saying? It would have polluted what God said was going to happen. He said, yeah, you're going to have that promised son. But then when he comes to Abraham, when we get into here, right here, he's going to say, okay, now, you're going to take a name change. Sarai, contentious woman, is going to now be a prince. And you're going to have it with Sarah, and you're 99 years old. At 75, they might have had a chance. Now, that's what God wants you to do. Every one of us. He wants us, like I just said in Genesis 15. We can't make God give us the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
But he will give it to those that are of an honest and a contrite heart. Yeah. The ones that will take it and have went through these three steps.
Amen. That's it. Amen.
You got to go through those steps. Because Abram was the father of our faith.
Right.
If he had to go through it in a natural life, you and I have to go through the same thing in a spiritual life.
Yeah.
Everybody got that, right?
Amen.
And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, he has quit trying to figure out he can have kids.
Yeah.
He's done. He's old. His body's finished. And he knew Sarah. Or Sarai, he'd lived with her since they were 16 years old, and they couldn't have kids to start with. But he knew he could perform because he had a child with Hagar. So he kind of got this thing a little figured out, but it ain't what God said.
Right.
Kind of like we all do. But the best thing to do is what? Stay in the Word. Stay in the journey. Stay connected. Stay hooked up with church. Stay hooked up with the Bible. Stay hooked up with listening to the prophet's message. Stay hooked up with listening to live ministers.
Yes.
Somebody that can look you in the face. That's why this is important. We are sheep. We are herd animals. We have to be led.
Yeah.
All right. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect.
Right.
He never said that to Abram before because he knew Abram couldn't do it.
Right.
But now he's getting ready to bring him into the new birth. And you say, well, and you know, I can't. First thing you tell people stuff like that, and especially people out in the world, and not us as message believers, because we've been taught different. They just haven't been taught.
Yeah.
Well, they ain't nobody perfect. You ain't perfect, and I ain't perfect. I'm not trying to be perfect, but if I got the perfect guy inside of me,
yeah, right.
He says I'm perfect. I make human mistakes.
Correct.
But he's telling Abram, look, walk before me and be thou perfect. In other words, I've sanctified you. I'm getting ready to put you in service, but you're not perfect until you come to this new birth. Until you come to the filling and the sealing. You're not going to be perfect, but God says, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face. And God talked with them saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee.
Yeah.
Nobody else. Thee. And thou shalt be a father of many nations. Now remember, Abram meant high father, but Abraham literally means father of many nations. So he's telling him right now he's going to change his name right here. Because literally, Abraham means a father of many nations.
Right.
Neither shall thy name any more be called sinner. But thy name shall be Christian.
Yeah.
Got it? Right. That's what he's saying. He walked all them times as Abram.
Yeah.
Now he's taking a name change.
Right.
And if that was me and you, that would be the point we would go to the water and we'd be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And become a part of that family of God.
Right.
Be connected by, look, Abram, thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. Thy name shall be Mrs. Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right. Not Mrs. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That could be many fathers, many sons, many spirits.
Right.
But one, the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's it.
For a father of many nations have I made thee. Thy name shall be Abraham. And I will make thee, look at this, I wills. God's still in control here. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of thee. And kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee. Because Abraham didn't have a covenant. He didn't make it, God made it. And Abraham come under that covenant. You and I are under that covenant now. The seed of Abraham. Because look, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto them and to thy seed after thee. And I will. Here's the I will. I will. I will. In other words, you can interpret that as I am.
Yeah.
The I am is on the scene.
Right.
The I am will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the lands of Canaan, the promised land, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. You see what he's making? He's making that Abrahamic covenant of land grant. Because what does he give the seed of Abraham? You and I are the seed of Abraham. What's our possession? After all this is said and done, after all the sin's done away with, after all the sinners are already been sent where they need to be sent, after everything is all back up right again, where do we get to go? Right here. Right here. This is our possession as a seed of Abraham for an everlasting possession, all the land. The land where you are what? I'm a pilgrim and a stranger, right? You know why it's strange? Because they're strange out there.
Right.
They think we're strange because we do all these weird things. Well, guess what? If God says they do strange things and we don't, then I'm going to tell you what God said. God says we're a pilgrim and a stranger to them out there, but he's given this land, the land grant, and God said unto Abraham now, Abraham, Christian now, I'm putting a lot of weight. I'm putting a lot of things on you now because you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to accept this. You got to accept it. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Now that was a, listen, that's a type of the Holy Ghost, but remember, the Holy Ghost couldn't get into the believer in the Old Testament because the blood of bulls and goats covered their sin. And waiting for Jesus Christ to die on the cross so he can release that life to come back inside that person. Everybody got that? Okay. So this is now, it doesn't matter if you're physically circumcised or not. It has no bearing whatsoever, and Paul covers that in the New Testament. He says, circumcised, uncircumcised. He said it's a circumcision of the heart. But to show a natural sign that you and I are supposed to show a natural sign as being a believer, He gave them a seal of circumcision. I thought the other day, listen to this. This is really good. I like this. God helped me come up with this. God came up with it and I just listened. But you know what that is? That's a secret sign. It's in the private parts. But it can be shown. It starts in the private part. The stillness of your heart one day. You say, God, I want you in here. I don't want you covering me here. I want you inside here. And it's a secret. Brother Brown said, what? It's an individual affair with God. But he was showing this to Abram. Why didn't he say, well, now we're going to just, you know, maybe cut off your earlobe or you know, why did it have to be where it was? It was in a private place. And that's where God gives you the new birth, in a private place. But in that private place, what they could do in the Old Testament, if you met somebody and they were all dressed like an Arab, not meaning anything against that, but dressed apart, you're dressed apart. They don't know if they're kindred or not. They all look alike. But you could go take him in a secret place and you could physically show them that you were under that covenant and that you were circumcised. So you were in this faith of Abraham or you weren't. By the physical, you understand what I'm saying? By the physical looking. But it was a secret, it had to be in a secret part where it's not just anybody and everybody. No, it was a secret thing. And that's what he done with this. And I kind of like that because it's a secret affair with God. But then though you can show it outwardly, if anybody needs to know, all you got to do is say, I'm under now the seal of circumcision. You don't have to show them. Your whole flesh shows it.
Right.
Same hand that held the beer now holds the Bible.
Right.
God just cleaned it up.
Right.
And put it in service.
Glory.
He didn't rip your tongue out because you cursed like a sailor. No, he just changed the what? The inside part. Amen. The private part.
Amen.
He changed it. And when he did, then you can show it outwardly, even in your natural flesh.
Right.
Oh, I love that.
Praise.
This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And they shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, showing that it was excess skin that didn't have any I guess you might say didn't have any value. That's what they're saying. But same way, what did we have to do? What did we have to do? We had to cut off the old skin of the worldly stuff that we used to do. Not physically. Just for the people online. Not physically. But spiritually, that old, what gave you the biggest problem? It wasn't really your flesh. It was the motivator inside. But once you got a new motivator inside, it changed your flesh.
Right. That's right.
You didn't have any excess demons running around. Everybody got that?
Amen.
And there's another thing you can say about this, but I'm not going to say here, but it's a showing. It's a showing who you are. It's a showing what you've done. It's actually a sacrifice.
Right. Right.
Abraham was 99 years old and he did it to himself. Because it was a natural sign to show that then Abraham did have to believe enough in God. Now listen. Everybody listening? God wasn't standing in human flesh yet. He was only speaking to Abraham. And he tells Abraham, you got to go take. And they didn't have surgical tools back then. You see what the sacrifice you finally had to make. Abraham believed that what he was doing was what God told him to do. Not what just some man or some voice out somewhere told him to do. No, he believed at that point of his life, he looked and said, well, I'm not going to be Abram anymore. I'm going to be Abraham. Something's changed. I've got something. And now I can do something. God tells me to do this. And it's a horrible thing. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. I love my old friends. But it's going to hurt when God puts himself down inside here.
Right.
And then he takes that top and he seals that thing in. Amen. Or he takes a seal and it's going to hurt.
Right.
But it's going to be what God says to do.
That's it.
That seal of circumcision. and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. And it shall be a token of the covenant between me and thee. Now see, that covenant was not an eternal covenant. It was an everlasting covenant. It stayed until, because remember, even Jesus was circumcised. Remember, the Bible tells us. Remember, Mary was in the line to go have Jesus circumcised on the eighth day because that's what they told him to do because he was part of Abraham's lineage, seed, not total lineage. But anyway, that's where Simeon met her, was in that line. And she was going to be circumcised, and she had the two turtle doves that she took. Brother Brown explains that very well. But look, and he that is 8 days old, now watch, for those of you that don't know online, and for those of you that do, we're going to refresh. 7 days is old creation, right? 7 days. God created the world in 7 days. There's seven church ages. There's seven spirits of God. There's seven different things, which means completion in the Bible. But when you come to an eighth day and you use that eight, and they even turn it around flat to make it show eternity because there's no ending to it. So we know that we as born again believers are circumcised on the eighth day, which puts us into the eternity.
Glory.
When you're born again. When you're born again, the day you're born again, brother Zach, you're just as eternal as God is. You're just as eternal as God ever was and ever will be. Amen. So you're in an 8 day. So see, he shows a type that he that is 8 days old. Why didn't he say 4, 3, 6? Why didn't he even say 7? He said on the 8th day. You've come into a holy convocation with God. As we see there in Leviticus, it talks about an 8th day. 7 days you'll do these things. And on the 8th day. Now remember, there's no 8th day for those of you that are online. There's no 8th day. It's just, that's the first day again. It's a continual 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But when you enter into that next cycle, man's cycle is 7. God's cycle has to recycle again because it's eternity. So the 8th day is just the first day over again. Everybody got that?
That's right.
All right. So we now are in an eternal loop.
Amen.
Everybody's born again, you're in an eternal loop. That's Brother Dale's talking about. The mind of Christ, that is the eternal loop because your old Adamic nature mind, we're going to live, we're going to have problems, and we're going to die. That's the way we've been taught since we were babies because we'd go to funerals. We'd go out and see this. But when you get the mind of Christ, that puts you in an eternal part. There's an eternal part now of you that can never die. Amen. That can never die. So you're in an 8-day holy convocation that the world knows nothing about. All right, excuse me. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, and every man child in your generations, he that is born in your house, are bought with money of a stranger, which is not thy seed. He that is born in thy house, he that is bought with money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh. Because remember, he could only anoint the flesh of those people. He couldn't go down inside to get in their soul to make that the new birth. But it is an absolute type of the new birth now, since Jesus Christ went to the cross and gave his flesh, released the life, the eternal life that was in him. He released that, like Brother Dale's talking about, that mind of Christ. The part of God that you're to play.
Right.
I'm going to say this, but it's not with God anymore. It's you and God. Because you were back in him before the foundation of the world. In a thought or an attribute. Now you've been, Brother Brown tells us in Hood and Melchizedek, he said, now you've been displayed.
Right.
You're not up here anymore. You've been displayed.
Right.
But, according to matching pieces, as Brother Dale preached in 1995, that piece though, that piece of the puzzle that's gone has got to reconnect.
Right.
To make it the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Right.
The fullness. Is the bride pieces coming back together.
Glory.
To this one place? Because remember, if you were eternal back then, you're eternal now.
Right.
The attribute became to you. The only way we could get here, though, is because of the sex act that happened in the garden that caused fall between Satan and the beast. Amen?
Right.
So we came a little different way by permissive will. This did. But the eternal was always eternal.
Amen.
And if you knew you accepted it in 2019 or 20, whenever it was right there.
Yeah.
It didn't go away. But when you received it, where'd it go? It went to you. So now you're a piece of the puzzle that God don't have in the dimension he's in now. You're in this dimension.
That's right.
But you're going to connect back to him in that dimension. That's why we all have to go away. The bride has to go away with the bridegroom to the wedding supper. And then with what we do, we connect all back together. Everybody got that? We're not, God's not leaving any pieces down here once we take a rapture. All the pieces go right back to where it started from.
Amen.
Amen. We just took this with us to show the devil that God can live in human flesh and be perfect. Because God said, walk before me and be thou perfect. All right. Everybody okay with that?
Amen.
All right. My covenant shall be for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh is the foreskin is not circumcised. Look how it was. Now, what happened was is if you were in a crowd mingling around and you wanted to go in the temple, remember they had that problem in the New Testament.
Yeah.
One of them, Timothy or one of them, wasn't circumcised. Because you had to show yourself. You had to unveil. Oh, I like that. You had to unveil yourself before the man.
Yeah, right.
And if you weren't circumcised in the New Testament, Paul or one of them got in trouble.
Right.
Or Peter. Because he took somebody in there that wasn't circumcised. They thought so much of that. That was a literal thing that they held on. Because look, God told them to.
That's right.
Under the Old Testament, God told them that's what you got to do. In other words, that's your new birth to show people that you have separated yourself from the Gentiles. Because Gentiles didn't care.
Yeah.
Alright? And the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people.
Right.
He hath broken my covenant. That's what happened to me and you when we came by the sex act between mom and dad, which was allowed by God. Right? It was allowed by God. But it got you here so that you can display the covenant.
Yeah. Yeah.
That God now is living in my circumcised inside, not outside, inside, my circumcised inside. And now I can show the world through this flesh that God can live in a human body and be perfect.
Yes.
Regardless whether you believe that or not, I believe that. If he told Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect, and then Jesus tells us in the New Testament, be ye therefore perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, we're going to stop right here. We didn't even get to chapter 18. We will start with chapter 18 next week. Because remember, somewhere along the line, you're going to meet God in human flesh. And you're going to realize it's God talking to you.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Doesn't matter if it's this man, this man, this man, this man, this man. Who? You're going to meet God in human flesh, and that person is going to bring you a direct message, and you're going to understand more than you've ever understood before.
Right.
Brother Luis will tell you that, and you don't mind me telling, that he didn't think he had the new birth before he came to this church.
No.
But when he came to this church, he got the new birth by listening to God in human flesh. Is that okay?
Amen.
I hope we all realize that.
Right. Right.
I hope we all come to a realization that God, you spoke to me.
Yes. Right.
And then everybody, there's not a person in this building but you.
Right.
And that's who God was speaking to directly.
Glory.
That day.
That's right.
And then maybe it's not Luis's day anymore. He's had his day. He's had his circumcision. You don't go recircumcise.
No.
Once and done.
Yep. Right.
Same way here. Once and done, but you got to be circumcised. But next time, it was Brother Zach's time.
Right.
Or Brother Ryan's or any of us. It was our time, what, to God come to us and said, look, circumcise.
Yep.
Think of that. You're going to, you know what you're going to do? Remember I told you last week, when you get circumcised at 90 years old, see, we were all circumcised as babies. So we really didn't even, we didn't know. Naturally. You understand what I mean? But if you would have waited till some... I've talked to a few that's waited till like 30 years old and because of medical reasons they had to be circumcised. Wasn't fun. So the longer you wait, the worse it is.
Yeah.
Everybody get born again real early. I wish. I hope for the young kids that that happens. If God can get to you first and you go through that circumcision. But what happens is you walk different. A physical male, when he's circumcised at that age, he physically walks different. Well, that's what God's telling him. Said, look, you're going to walk different. You're going to walk, you're going to be like I said with Jacob. Jacob had a name changed to Israel, but he had to fight with an angel. The angel had to smite him on the thigh, and then he became the limping prince. So everybody that knew, the world knew Jacob, this was Jacob. But now everybody that knew Israel after that, that he had been with God, oh, he walks different. And that's exactly what they say, right? They tell us, oh, you walk different. Why? You've been circumcised. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy contentious wife, the one that gave you Hagar and the one that, I can't do this, so I'm going to give it to somebody else. You shall not call her Sarai anymore, but Sarah, princess, shall her name be. And I will bless her. Now, he's never said that before.
Right.
Never has he said anything about even Sarai.
Right.
He was Abram. But now that Abram's name's changed to Abraham, he needs a bride.
Right. Amen.
With a name change.
Glory. That's it.
Amen. And it said unto Abraham, for Sarai thy wife, that contentious old person we used to be, contentious, everything was contentious, right? But now you're going to be Sarah, and you're going to get the blessing now. Look, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Abraham, I'm giving you the whole plan of redemption right here. You and this woman, Sarah, are going to have that promise I gave you 25 years ago. And I will bless her and give thee a son after her. Yea, I will bless her. And she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her.
Right.
Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Now look, this is, like I said before, you first get born again, remember, you've just been circumcised. So it hurts a little bit.
Yeah.
So Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? Shall Sarah that is 90 years old? See, he's back to circumstances again. But he turns everything back around because Abraham said, oh, that Ishmael may live before. Now, Ishmael ain't got nothing to do with it.
Right.
Ishmael's out of the picture. Now, Ishmael gets a blessing, but it ain't it's not the blessing that Abraham and Sarah is going to bring to the world, which is Jesus Christ. We know that, right? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael may live before thee. And God said, hey, look, did he say, no, Abraham, that's not what, he didn't even pay attention to what he said.
Yeah.
Same way with God. Remember, God's no's are the best yeses we ever get a lot of times. But God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. So Ishmael's out of the picture now. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I've heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him.
Yes.
He's going to bless the foolish virgin. He's going to bless the people that be given eternal life. They're a part of the plan.
That's right.
They're actually a part of the mind of God, but not the part you and I are. They're a part of the thinking of God, not a part of the mind of Christ. Okay? Everybody okay with that? Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will be with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at the set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him and God went up from Abraham. Abraham took Ishmael and all that was born in his house and all that was bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house. And he circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the self same day. He didn't wait 2 weeks.
Right.
He didn't wait 2 months. The day God told him, that's the day he did it. Same way with you and I. Don't lollygag around. If God's getting ready to give you something, take it.
Right.
Do like Mary and say, be it unto me, Lord, according to thy word. I'll take it. Give it to me.
Yeah.
And Ishmael his son was 13 years old. Wait a minute. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. So you see, in a type, there's Ishmael, the Ishmaelite group that we think so bad and rotten, which they are contentious and they do fight and they are going to, but remember, they come under the same covenant. They receive circumcision, now not here on earth. I'm talking spiritual now, not here on earth. You and I have received circumcision by the new birth now. They get circumcision at the white throne judgment. Basically, if you call circumcision the new birth. They won't get the new birth. The new birth is you were born a human. You come to a new birth. You must be born again. On this earth, and either you die or we take a body change and go into rapture. Now, they are born Ishmael, live Ishmael all through their life, but at the very end, they're circumcised or given the Holy Ghost, not a new birth, because a new birth means they were born and then they got a new birth. See, that's what's special. I hope y'all see this. If you don't see anything else, the new birth is the most special thing. Because you were once dead in your natural life, walking through the earth thinking you're the most alive people in the world. Musicians, get ready to come. But you're not. You're dead as a hammer. Right? Inside. But God thought enough of you to bring you Abram, through Abram, into Canaan. All the mistakes you make, all the things that happen in your life, God is leading you, and then He births you anew.
Amen. That's right.
He rebirths you.
Glory.
Not like, who was it? Have I got to go back and get my mother's womb? See, he was talking natural. Jesus said, no, you got to be born from above.
Right.
He should have said, well, where's that? No, he just didn't understand it. But you and I understand that we are born from above. And then when God gives us the new birth, that makes us a new creature, that makes us sons and daughters of God, the bride of Jesus Christ, and all these different things. But Ishmael is going to be circumcised, but he's got that people, the foolish virgin, cup of water in my name, people that are given eternal life, they were born and never got a rebirth. They never were born again, so they go through life and they die and they have to come up at the white throne judgment, but what they have to do is they have to give an account of what they did. You and I never have to do that. If you're born again today, that old circumcision, remember that circumcision, you don't ever get circumcised again.
Glory.
Amen? God never accounts that back to you backwards. But to Ishmael and the Ishmael group, they have to come up and God has to give them eternal life. Now it's the same eternal life we get, but we get it here. That's the difference. We get it right here on this God-forsaken COVID-19 earth that we're living in. But they're going to have to wait, go through a judgment, stand at the white throne judgment, and be given eternal life. The Bible says the books were open and they were judged by their own works. I don't want to be judged by my works.
That's right.
I want to be judged by the works at Calvary.
Glory.
Where God took my place. And God's the one that said to me, walk before me and be thou perfect.
Yes. Right.
I want to be circumcised in that secret place.
Right.
But I want to be able to show the world that something happened.
Glory.
That I walked different. And that in chapter 18, the Lord is finally going to not just talk to Abram. Not talk to Abraham. He's going to appear before him.
Glory.
Amen. So let's stand to our feet. God bless you. Hope you enjoyed that.
Amen.
I enjoy. I'm kind of like Brother Jimmy Gibson. If you can't talk about nobody, talk about Abraham. You can't go wrong.
Right.
When you start talking about... Do you need this up? When you start talking about Abraham, you can't go wrong. Because you know what? You are the what? Faith seed. Not natural seed. You're the faith seed of Abraham. Because in all this right here, now sure it may look like to the natural world that there was a lot of things he didn't believe. But what happened? He kept walking. He kept going through the things in life. He kept going through them. And he went through them.
Amen. Right.
It's going through a problem is what gets you out on the other side. Going through something gives you the victory. If you stop and say, I'm done, I can't do this no more, that's not a victory. You've stopped walking. Now God just keeps on going. And somebody's going to come right there with him. Let it be me and you. Let's sing a song.
Sing, I Thank God for the Lighthouse. It's 348 in the Spiral Book.
348?
Mm-hmm. Just sing with the
348.
Chorus. And I thank God for the Lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Jesus is the Lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shone His light around me, that I could clearly see that if it wasn't for that lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be?
Is
the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shown His light around me, that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for that lighthouse, tell me where sin, He has shown His light around me, that I could clearly see that if it wasn't for that lighthouse, then tell me where would this ship be?
Amen. He's shown His light. He's given us how in the world would we have known Abram and Abraham if it hadn't been for a prophet God sent in the end time? That was an example. Now we can take examples of Abraham of being faithful and all being all these different things. But for to put it in where, when you read it in the Bible, that you put your own personal spiritual experience through what happened with Abram.
Amen.
When you were just a sinner out in the world. Listen, you were a sinner. That was your name.
Right.
You weren't, you know, you were Ryan the sinner. I was Wade the sinner.
Yeah.
Now, by the new birth, by being reborn,
right.
Now it's the same Ryan I see, but now it's Ryan the Christian.
Right.
And the whole world can see.
Glory.
That each one of us have had a name change. Everybody wants to talk about name changes. Boy, we already got one.
Right.
We went from Abram to Abraham. I mean, we already had a name change according to the Bible.
Glory.
We went from Abram to Abraham. We went from sinner to Christian.
Right.
We're Mrs. Lord Jesus Christ. We are accepted into the family. We are the bride.
Right.
We have an intimate mate that we can be with, right, called the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank God for the lighthouse, and thank God for y'all being here today. I want to say those of you that are at home, Lord bless you. I wish everybody could come. Right. But if we all get together and pray, that God will stay this thing, and that as they did in the Old Testament, that as of right now, the Spirit of God is going out and staying this thing and keeping it down to a minimum so that we can all get back, at least have a little semblance of life, even though this may be heading toward the end. Who knows? I mean, this is not the apocalypse now. We know that because we're not even supposed to be here.
Right.
So, I mean, thank God for that. Even, you know, You look in the denominational world, they tell you, you got to go through tribulation period. Well, my Bible don't say that. I don't know if I'd want to listen to something like that. To tell me I got to go through. Now, sure, we go through little things that we got to go through, but I'm talking about when the tribulation hits, that's the wrath of God. Right. This is not the wrath of God. This is because sinners, because we're sin-laden in our body, okay? If we'll understand that, it's what happens to it's a virus. It's a virus. It's something that started somewhere, and then it keeps going from human being to human being. Well, you know what? I want a virus. Yes. I do. I want to be infected with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Yes. And being infected makes me affected.
Right.
And may make us effective.
Right.
In this world, to what I'm saying is, let's pray for those people out there. Let's not condemn this one and that one and the other.
No.
Can't stand anybody condemning. I don't care if it's the filthiest guy on the face of the earth. If he's in that position, it's like Brother Dale said, you honor that position. I don't want to hear no bashing of Trump or whoever you want to talk about. I really don't care. But he's doing the best he can as a human being. And there ain't nobody in that position but him. And you want to put yourself in it? I don't. Not at this moment, I don't. But now see, because all this world is not ours. We let them run the cosmos, our world order. And let them, but you know what? Brother Brown never said, he said don't pray for America. He never said don't pray for the leaders. Or the leadership. He even stopped the service one time and prayed for Dwight Eisenhower because they told him he had a stroke or heart attack and they were taking him to the hospital. He stopped the service. He said, you pray for those people. The Bible tells you to pray for kings.
Amen.
Pray for those who have the rule over you.
That's it.
If you condemn them, I doubt your experience as a Christian.
Right.
I really do, because that's being totally selfish.
Amen.
But this is a crisis that we, and help your neighbor. Help your neighbor in this thing. Help, you know, do the best you can with what you got. June had a bunch of cloth that she had put up. Somebody had given just bolts and bolts of cloth. I think it was maybe Matthew's wife. But anyway, she had all that, and they're making surgical masks. So she's sending it to Gainesville so they can make some surgical masks. Do what you can. Don't just sit back and say, now God, just protect me and my four no more. Well, you know what? If you're that way, you're selfish.
Right.
And with toilet paper. Now, be careful with the toilet paper. Don't hoard it. Okay? But if you need some, go buy it. I think everything will be okay after a while. But we're just going to pray that that's what God's going to do. He said he'd never leave us, never forsake us. He takes care of his kids first. Remember Brother Brown said one time, he said, you know, all of heaven is praising God and the angels are shouting and everything's going on. And all of a sudden God says, shut up. I hear one of my children needs something. Whole heaven, hush, just because one person hit their knees and said, Father, I need something from you. That's how important you and I are. We're not important in ourselves. God's made us important. Amen. So we need to believe that and go forward, not do anything stupid or not do anything foolish. Don't tempt God, the Bible says. So we're not going to tempt God. But let's do the best we can with what we got. I pray to God that somebody will come up with a vaccine or some person will be anointed to go up there to that hospital and just lay hands on the sick and they all recover. I truly believe that God can do that.
Right.
And I'm praying that somebody will get desperate enough that we'll stay this thing and it won't get any worse than it is and we'll get back to some part of our life. Like I said, the world's doing the best they can. They're running on fumes now. Everybody's running on fumes. Every nation is like us. It ain't just the United States broke. Everybody's broke. But this is where we know that who is going to come up with the gold that's sitting on the gold over there. And think of it. That's the worst place it's hitting now. But they're sitting on the gold of the world, and all they're going to do is say, okay, if you'll do this. It's kind of like, I'm going to say this one time, the bill they passed. The Democrats had all kind of little junk they put in that bill when then Trump looks at them and says, well, we got to do, you know, it's give and take. And it's give and take. It's not cut and dry. You had to give them a little bit, you know, a little bit of compromise. Well, listen, God don't compromise. But all that compromising is putting stuff attached to those bills and they're passing them. And like Brother Dale's always said, they're going to lay there on those books until they need them. And then when they need them, they're going to say, oh, remember back in 2020, we passed that $1 trillion. Well, we also put in there that y'all can't even have church anymore. You can't assemble unless you have a sign of a Catholic church. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Because they take over and they say, this is what you got to do.
Right.
We own you now. Yeah. It's not China. We thought, well, China owns us. Well, I don't know if China owns us now or not. I think it's the strings are being pulled from other places. But we know that. We read the news. We know that's what's going to happen.
Right.
So just realize that we're heading toward the end time. We're closer than we ever have been. It's obvious.
Yeah, that's right.
Tomorrow we can say we're closer than we ever been. Okay? But we see the things happening to put in place that we would think, like Brother Dale, he'd sit down and try to think, and then you go, man, one little virus has shut the whole world down.
Right.
One little virus has shut the whole world down for this moment of time. What else can happen? But I'll promise you the bride of Jesus Christ will prevail. Because we got a covenant now, an eternal covenant,
right,
which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
We don't work under temporary covenants. The covenant with me and you was made back before the foundation of the
right.
world. And it can't ever fail.
Right.
You remember that online. God can never fail.
Right.
And if you got God inside of you, you can't fail either.
Right.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity that we have, Lord, to speak to your purchased possession, Lord. We pray that what we've said has been pleasing to you, Lord, and it'll help us all to grow a little bit closer to you, Father. We do pray, and you know in our heart, the prophet said, you know our heart. Our heart is set on, Lord, that something will happen to stay this thing, Lord, or they'll find a vaccine, or they'll find something, Lord, to stop this, because human beings are dying. Human beings are dying. They're crying out for help, and they don't know who to cry to. Lord, I pray that you'll be their comforter, Lord, in the time of trouble. I think about all the different ones that are passing away in the different hospitals and not even have family members around them. They're just dying alone. Father, what a horrible thing of dying, but to die alone. But Lord, we know as Christians, we don't die alone. We have you there with us, and that you'll protect us and lead us and guide us. And Lord, truly protect us here. Protect some of the older ones, Brother Dale, and all the different ones that are older and more susceptible to these things. Lord, we ask you to give them another angel to super protect them and keep them strong, because we need everybody here, Lord. Thank you for the ones that are here. Thank you for the ones that are online, Lord. We pray that you just give them supernatural strength for this week coming up, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and we all say amen. God bless you. Brother Aaron will be here Wednesday night, so thank you for coming. And we'll be swapping a few out and around about, some of the different ones. And God bless you. Thank you for your time, and thank you for your patience.
Amen.
God bless you.